I would be Earl Uhtred, and Rorik and his older brother would hold other strongholds. And Ragnar would be a great lord, supported by his sons and by Bebbanburg. And we would all be Danes, and Odin would smile on us. And so the world would go on until the final conflagration, when the great gods fought the monsters, and the army of the dead would march from Valhalla, and the underworld give up its beasts, and fire would consume the great tree of life, Yggdrasil. In other words, everything would stay the same until it was all no more. That was what Rorik thought, and doubtless Ragnar thought so too. Destiny, Ravn said, is everything. News came in the high summer that the Mercian army was marching at last, and that King Ethelred of Wessex was bringing his army to support Burgred, and so we were to be faced by two of the three remaining English kingdoms. We stopped our raids into the countryside and readied Snottingham for the inevitable siege. The palisade on the earth wall was strengthened, and the ditch outside the wall was deepened. The ships were drawn up on the town's riverbank, far from the walls so they could not be reduced to ash by fire arrows shot from outside the defences, and the thatch of the buildings closest to the wall was pulled off the houses so that they could not be set ablaze. Ivar and Ubba had decided to endure a siege because they reckoned we were strong enough to hold what we had taken, but that if we took more territory, then the Danish forces would be stretched thin and could be defeated piece by piece. It was better, they reckoned, to let the enemy come and break himself on Snottingham's defences. That enemy came as the poppies bloomed. The Mercian scouts arrived first, small groups of horsemen who circled the town warily. And at midday, Burgred's foot soldiers appeared, band after band of men with spears, axes, swords, sickles, and hay knives. They camped well away from the walls, using branches and turf to make a township of crude shelters that sprang up across the low hills and meadows. Snottingham lay on the north bank of the Trent, which meant the river was between the town and the rest of Mercia. But the enemy army came from the west, having crossed the Trent somewhere to the south of the town. A few of their men stayed on the southern bank to make sure our ships did not cross the river to land men for foraging expeditions, and the presence of those men meant that the enemy surrounded us, but they made no attempt to attack us. The Mercians were waiting for the West Saxons to come. And in that first week, the only excitement occurred when a handful of Burgred's archers crept toward the town and loosed a few arrows at us, and the missiles whacked into the palisade and stuck there, perches for birds, and that was the extent of their belligerence. After that, they fortified their camp, surrounding it with a barricade of felled trees and thorn bushes. They are frightened that we will make a sally and kill them all, Ragnar said. So they are going to sit there and try to starve us out. Will they? I asked. They couldn't starve a mouse in a pot, Ragnar said cheerfully. He had hung his shield on the outer side of the palisade, one of over 1,200 bright painted shields that were displayed there. We did not have 1,200 men, but nearly all the Danes possessed more than one shield, and they hung them all on the wall to make the enemy think our garrison equaled the number of shields.